as a program, I think, you know, I talked about it when I got here. I want a team that can compete for championships on a consistent basis. You know, and to do that, to compete for championships, you're going to have to beat Alabama. As everybody said last year, what's the margin? Last year it was 6 points, this year it was two, you know, and hopefully we get one more shot at it.
They've got like 105 star football players on their defense. They have a defensive lineman that weighs 340 pounds and runs better than everybody on this call. 5-star recruits everywhere, and they play really physical. Damn.
I think Memphis played more mature than we did. I think that, which I don't even know exactly what that means, but they're more advanced than we were. And then sometimes morale doesn't need to be boosted. Now, you need to boost something, but it's not always morale that needs to be boosted. And between now and tomorrow, I'm going to figure out what it is that needs to be boosted. And whether I'm right or not, we're going to boost something.
Well, you know, like I told him, I mean, you know, we're not satisfied by any stretch, but you can't ever apologize for a win.
You know, we don't have to have the best players. We just have to have the best team. Our kids have bought into that.
Listen, potential is the worst thing you can have. Because that means you ain't done it. I hate the word potential. Somebody says you got a potential to have a good team. That drives me nuts. That means I'm not coaching right and they're not playing right.
Welcome in to the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin, Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I am ready to get to the weekend and watch me some SEC football. Can you believe it's week four already, Shane?
No, I hate when you say it like that, Mike, because you think about how many games you got left. We're a quarter in, so no, the time is flying, man, but it's been a fun freaking ride so far.
Well, absolutely, Shane. We got a loaded show, so we'll just jump right into it. We got Brent Zernerman from the Houston Chronicle. Going to jump to that interview in just a minute to break down this Texas A&M Arkansas game. But before we do that, Shane, as always here on a Friday, got to mention the sponsor, Prize Picks. Head on over to prizepicks.com. And use that promo code SEC to get you free $100, Shane. That's what it is. Yeah, they'll match your initial deposit up to $100 over at prizepicks.com. You can find a link to that in the show notes. And if you're watching on YouTube, it's on the screen. But I got a couple guys here, Shane. I want to hear what your thought. I got four Prize Picks selections, daily fantasy sports over there at Prize Picks. I really like these ones. Corey Kiner, LSU freshman running back. He had a tremendous debut there against Central Michigan. He's hitting that spin button. But I think, you know, maybe we're getting a little too hyped with him because Mississippi State's got a hell of a defense. So yeah. I like the under 54.5 rushing yards for Corey Kiner. Now, the big game of the week. I got three selections that I all love from this one. So Treylon Burks, the outstanding receiver there for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Over four catches. I love that. You got to get Burks involved in a game like this. I mean, this is the game of the year right now for the Arkansas Razorbacks, and he's your best player. So you got to feed the beast. Get him.
Absolutely.
I think he gets to five catches. I think that's an easy selection. And I don't want to tip my hand too much, Shane. We'll get to that game here in a moment. But Zach Calzada, over 1.5 touchdowns in the game. I think he's going to have a big game against the Razorbacks. And then probably the lock of the week here on Prize Picks, easiest bet on the board, I think. KJ Jefferson, over under half a rushing touchdown. My man's only got to get in the end zone once on the ground, and you'll win over at Prize Picks. So what do you think of those selections there, Shane?
Oh, man, you are kind of tipping your hat about this game's weekend, but the key to this thing is free $100, Mike. I mean, hell, if I'm walking down the sidewalk and I see a $100 bill on the sidewalk, I'm picking it up. That's what we're doing today.
Absolutely. So you want that free $100. Again, you want to help out the shows, is a great way to do it. Head on over to prizepicks.com. Use that promo code SEC. Get in on the daily fantasy sports, and they have SEC players to pick from. All right, Shane, so I teased it there. Interview with Brent Zernerman from the Houston Chronicle. Remember, this is the guy that broke the news at SEC Media Days that Texas and Oklahoma were coming to the SEC. He was getting laughed by some of these SEC network analysts that, you know, no way that was happening. Not only did Brett report that, he said he went on Feinbaum's show that same day, said this is going to happen quick, within weeks. 10 days later, Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. He also got the scoop that Jimbo Fisher got his extension there right before the season started. So let's kick it over to our interview with Brent Zerneman. All right, we're joined by Brent Zerneman, of course, the outstanding Texas A&M writer for the Houston Chronicle. And, of course, everybody should know that name. He is the man that scooped the entire SEC, the entire country, really, when he was the one that revealed that Texas and Oklahoma were headed to the SEC during SEC Media Day. So, Brent, I really, really appreciate you joining the show.
You bet, Mike. Thanks for having me on. You know, that wasn't, from my views, I would rather that story have come out during the dog days of summer to give us all something to talk and write about. But right on the day that Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and Mike Leach were scheduled to appear or did appear, it wasn't ideal. But then on the flip side, I wasn't going to ignore the timing either in terms of, you know, stumbling across that story, I'll say, jokingly. It turned that Wednesday into a very interesting day at SEC Media Days, but it might have been better on a day when we were actually looking for something to write and talk about.
Right. And of course, you know, everybody gives you credit for breaking that story, but, you know, I don't see enough people giving you credit. I believe it was on the Paul Feinbaum show. He had you on the air immediately thereafter, and you said, you know, I could see this getting done in a matter of weeks, which that seemed like, you know, how in the world is that going to happen? Then 10 days later, Texas and Oklahoma officially headed to the SEC. So you really had your finger on this one. You know, now the million-dollar question, and I figure you're the best person to ask, any idea when Texas and Oklahoma may be able to get out of their Big 12 contract? Do you have any idea on that one?
You know, it's funny, Mike, because I called this realignment 101 that I studied up close and personally a decade ago, which is actually where all of this, the latest news, stemmed from. As I pointed out on my Twitter timeline, in the days leading up to, the days leading up, I'd written these anniversary stories on the 10-year declaration of then A&M President R. Bowen Lofton saying, and I'm going to do a Lofton voice here for you, the Big 12 is in a state of uncertainty. And I covered it that day. And so I wrote the anniversary stories of that declaration. It wasn't A&M's actual move to the SEC. It was when Lofton gave the heads up that the Aggies were not happy in the Big 12. And that's actually in reaching out across leagues and to old contacts and, you know, some guys who've been around for a while. That's where the story stemmed from. And the reason I say all of that is, at the time, A&M, it was supposed to be a couple of years before they made the move from the Big 12 to the SEC. But because it was such an awkward situation, things really accelerated. And then, you know, Missouri hopped on. And next thing you know, within less than a year after Lofton made that declaration, the Aggies are officially part of the SEC. From the very beginning, I thought that's going to happen with Texas and Oklahoma, because it's not something you want to stretch out. I said I thought it would happen as soon as, you know, just from based on having covered everything with A&M going through that process, that it would be accelerated and could be as soon as 2022. I mean, I guess I still say that. You know, obviously SEC released their 2022 schedules, which can be adjusted accordingly if necessary. I don't think it's going to be any later than 2023. I still think there's a pretty good chance, you know, maybe even particularly from the Texas side of things, that they're going to have things lined up and ready to roll sooner than that. But I definitely don't see it stretching out any later than 2023. But obviously we're less than a year removed. Things were less complicated for A&M a decade ago in accelerating that. You know, there's obviously more things to deal with in terms of TV contracts and so forth for Texas and Oklahoma. But we all know they all have enough money to get it done if they want to get it done and move up that process and go ahead and enter the SEC in 2022, which has been my thought all along, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And how excited are you to see the Aggies and Longhorns finally meet on the field again? And because it seems like it's been 10 years of online bickering, and now we, you know, sooner rather than later, they're finally going to be meeting on the gridiron once again.
you know, I'd much rather see that game play out in College Station or Austin as opposed to living rooms, you know, because that's what it came down to in terms of the, as you said, bickering and recruiting and in recruits' living rooms and the battle being fought out there. It's going to be great to see it on the field. And, you know, I grew up in the state of Texas, and there was not a bigger event. And I'm not a Longhorn. I'm not an Aggie. I went to San Houston State. There was not a bigger event in this state, sporting event, than when the Aggies and Longhorns played football on Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving weekend. It's what we all look forward to, no matter what school you went to. We all watched it. My dad grew up in the town of Dimebox, which is right between Austin and College Station. When he was a kid in the 40s, he said you always knew where the game was that year by the way the cars, which way the cars were rolling. And after this news broke in July, he called me. And he goes, you mean I'm going to get to see the Aggies and Longhorns play football again? And it really hit me. You know, here's this 85-year-old man who's missed the game for the past decade, this game he grew up on as a Texan on a farm in the state. And now suddenly he's saying that he thinks he might get a chance to see them play again. So that really hit home for me. And it's bigger. You know, I know a lot of Aggies were saying, oh, they don't need the Longhorns and things like that. And maybe there was some thought of that from the Longhorn side of things too, but not as much. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than A&M in Texas. It's a game for the state. And so from that vantage, that was actually the first thing I thought of. It wasn't, hey, Texas is going to be in the SEC. My first thought was, hey, A&M and Texas are playing football again, and it's probably going to be on Thanksgiving weekend, and this is going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, you scooped everybody on. Jimbo Fisher got himself a contract extension down there in College Station. Any idea, you know, not to say that he didn't earn it by any means, but it's interesting because he, you know, had so many years remaining and now back to a 10-year deal there in College Station. What was, you know, the A&M thinking on that one?
Yeah, that was based on future, how do they say, I'm not a stock market guy or whatever money guy, but future earnings as opposed to past accomplishments at his present school. You know, and he's obviously done very well at A&M in terms of, I mean, their number four finish last year was their highest since 1939, which is hard to believe, but highest since they won the national title in 1939. So he's done a good job in a short time. But when you're playing in the same division as Alabama, he doesn't have any titles yet. But the idea was, okay, A&M is going to show how much they love this guy and what they think he can do at Texas A&M over the next decade. And they're going to reward him accordingly. And you know, I think it's no secret to say that this was a message sent to LSU as well, in terms of saying A&M really loves Jimbo Fisher, and they're going to show how much they love him by making him the second highest paid coach behind Nick Saban, with all the troubles LSU is having as well. So that's what it was based on. It wasn't based on, hey, Jimbo won the SEC last year, and let's paying more than the Clemson coach is getting right now. It was, okay, Texas A&M believes he can get it done in the coming years, and that's why they want him to be their guy. And, you know, culturally, and I've written about this, I mean, he's a tremendous fit at A&M. I mean, he has a ranch just outside of town right on the Brazos River and has really submerged himself in the culture. And he's, you know, he goes to cattle auctions outside of town and so forth. So, from all appearances, he seems to love it around here as well.
All right, well, shifting focus to the big game we got this weekend, Texas A&M and Arkansas. I wanted to ask you about Zach Calzada. And, you know, he certainly seems to be coming along. He struggled mightily at the beginning of that Colorado game. But do you think that was more of a function of, the fact that Haynes King got injured in that game? And, you know, they both seem like they're good players, but they're very – they have different, strengths, I would certainly say, and maybe Texas A&M had to adjust to a game plan with the more mobile King in there to shift into Calzada. Do you buy into that narrative?
I do, and I think that, and Jimbo has said, and obviously he's done a good job over the past decade, you know, not just decade, but decades of developing quarterbacks, and he vows both guys will be in the NFL, and I actually believe that from what I've seen. You're right in the sense that Haynes King ultimately won out the job because he's more mobile quarterback. He's one of the fastest guys on the team. and they're working behind what's now the biggest question. It was the biggest question mark going into the season, and certainly three games in, the offensive line. You know, so four or five new starters. So that helps King to kind of win the job because he is more mobile guy. Now the switch is on with Zach Calzada, who has the best arm, Mike, of any quarterback I've ever seen at A&M, and I ask one of, and easily, which is saying something, because there's been some slingers who's come along, and I asked one of the old timers who's been around Kyle Field quite a long time. I said, "You ever seen an arm this good at Kyle Field?" He goes, "Yeah, the guy's name was Brett Favre, you know, back when Southern Miss played it at A&M back in the late 80s, you know, in terms of just being able to sling the ball." And talking about Calzada. So the switch has been on in terms of, and Jimbo has said that there's not going to be any huge changes. For one thing, he can't. I mean, their strengths are still going to be their strengths, which are their running game and so forth. But there has been an adjustment with the idea that Calzada is going to be more of a passer. And he is. He's an excitable guy. This is his first chance. He's been in the program now three seasons. You literally saw him settling down. You could see it at Colorado as he realized, okay, now this is my team. And sure enough, on their final possession, he leads them to a game-winning touchdown drive and kept their national title hopes alive on his best pass of the day at that point. And he looked good against New Mexico. You could tell he was settling in, but this offensive line is the one to really keep an eye on. And Jimbo's tone changed too, from post-game of being down on him, saying they need to really get their act together, to this week he was trying to be more upbeat and saying, hey, they're coming along, and there were just little things that they need to adjust. But certainly that's their biggest question, and ultimately why I believe Haynes King won the job back in August is that he's a guy who could escape more trouble if necessary. And certainly Jimbo has now been adjusting accordingly with Zach Calzada, the gunslinger back there.
Well, shifting to the other side of the ball, I mean, this Texas A&M defense is just playing outstanding for Mike Elko. You've been covering A&M for quite a while. Have you ever seen a Texas A&M defense this good, do you think?
I haven't, because I started covering in 95 and left for a couple years along the way. But when I started covering at that time, a quarter century ago, you would hear the tells. And, of course, I grew up watching, as I talked about, watching the program, even though I wasn't at school there, of those wrecking crew defenses, particularly of the mid to late 80s and early 90s, that were just awesome. And now suddenly you're seeing with this defense, we're referencing numbers that you haven't seen since back then. And like in 1998, I covered a really, really good A&M defense led by Dat Wynn, you know, the All-American linebacker. And that was also the last time they won a conference title. They won the 1998 Big 12 title. Really good defense. This one's better. And to Jimbo Fisher's credit, Mike Elko's credit, when he hired Elko and they came in together, they kept Terry Price, defensive line coach, who was an old A&M player who had done an exceptional job recruiting. He had gotten Miles Garrett to Texas A&M under Kevin Sumlin. Price was one of the few retentions, you know, one of the few guys they kept around, and it was a smart move. I mean, defensive line is certainly a strength of this program. Some questions at linebacker, the secondary. Jimbo and Elko have recruited really well in the secondary with defensive backs, four and five-star guys that they brought in who are really kind of coming into their own. So, yeah, if A&M is to have a chance, if A&M is going to have a shot at winning its first SEC title or division title or beating Alabama at Kyle Field this year in October, it's going to be because of this defense. It's not going to be because suddenly the offense comes alive. It's going to be because this defense has kept them in games. There's some questions so far on its, you know, ability to kind of really stop the run, but that's been really the only issue. And if you look how many points, shutout New Mexico, first shutout at Texas A&M in 5 years, 7 points to Colorado, 10 to Kent State, 17 points over three games, 5.7 points per game. Jimbo will take that. So, yeah, this defense has been exceptional. And fortunately for A&M, they've been able to keep Elko around. He's had some offers. You know, Kansas came after him last year and so forth. But I also think he's taken the Kirby Smart approach of saying, hey, you know, we can do good things here at Texas A&M and along the way, and then a much more prime job might come open for him along the way too, to be a head coach. And he's still relatively young, you know, he's mid 40s or so, something like that. So So he has time. So, yes, this defense has gotten it done, and that's been kind of a fun part for A&M fans because back in the day, it was always about the Wrecking Crew defense. And last week I was getting text messages and also in Colorado both times of saying, wow, is this reminding me of the early 90s? Because this offense is struggling and trying to get it going, but the defense is more than holding its own and keeping the Aggies in the game.
Well, based on your comments there, you know, you're looking ahead to Alabama. You're talking SEC championships. I got to assume you like Texas A&M to win this weekend in Jerry World?
I do, but I think it's going to be, if you look at the series of late, even though A&M has won 9 in a row, they've been some really close games, some overtime games and so forth. And I think it's going to be another one. And hey, as a guy who grew up on the old Southwest Conference, I think it's been kind of neat to see the resurgence under Sam Pittman and what he's done at Arkansas. And you love a story like that too, a guy who's just plugged away and just kind of behind the scenes, and suddenly he gets his chance and he's getting it done with the Razorbacks after Chad Morris, who was A&M's second pick, by the way. If Jimbo Fisher had fallen through, A&M was going to turn to former student Chad Morris to run the show, and who knows, he might have had much more success here. But to see what Sam Pittman has done and the way they bullied and pushed around Texas in that game, it really sets up. It's fun for me. I'm one of those, and I'm going to get bombarded by Aggies here because they love the home and home. But I actually like going annually up to the NFL venue and going to Dallas Fort Worth and taking the family this weekend. We're going to make a little family trip out of it and so forth. So I actually like that venue, and it's coming to an end in 24. At least that's the plan right now, unless Jerry Jones comes in with an offer they can't refuse. But it's going to go back to a home and home deal. Arkansas kind of got a little bit hosed on the deal because last year they played in College Station.
Right.
If they had insisted, it could have been in Fayetteville this year because they're the home team. But bottom line is, I think they would have, Jerry Jones would have been insisted that they add another couple of years to the contract, but they want it to be done by 24. So they agreed to play in AT&T Stadium and continue to honor their former player in Jerry Jones. So yeah, I think it's fun that it's a Sweet 16 showdown, as I've called it, with the number 7 team and the number 16 team. And I do think it's going to be a close game based on what I've seen. I mean, A&M was fortunate to escape with the win out of Denver against Colorado. So, and then based right on that same day, what the Razorbacks did to the Longhorns, I do think it's shaping up as what could be a really, really good game, good tight game.
All right, last thing for you, Brent. I really appreciate all your time. You already referenced it, so I got to ask you about it. The Alabama game, Texas A&M, they just announced it's officially a sellout. Safe to say this is going to be the biggest game of the Jimbo Fisher era to this point?
I knew that was coming, right? Yeah, in terms of – and I had – before the season, I was kind of buying into all the hype, and Haynes King running their show and all that. And I actually predicted a win, an A&M win over Alabama. And I said, by then, going into midseason, it might not even be that much of an upset. And now, then the first thing, then A&M has trouble beating Colorado and Alabama just steamrolls Miami on that opening weekend. I'm going, I don't know about that. I don't know about that pick, but yes. Definitely the biggest game, and it reminds me of, as you well remember, 2013. It was the same type deal. Johnny Manziel had won the Heisman Trophy in 2012. They had upset Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I mean, the hype around that game was probably the biggest I've covered, at Texas A&M, and that just leading up to that with of the Crimson Tide, the reigning national champions coming in to Kyle Field with A&M having Manziel in a role, and of course, Alabama won that game in a shootout. And so, yeah, I'm comparing the hype, although right now A&M hasn't looked as good as what I thought they would so far. And part of that has to do with what we suspected, suspect offensive line, but also losing Haynes King didn't help. So if they can stay on the right track, which is Arkansas and then Mississippi State, and I suspect Alabama will be on the right track leading into that game, that's going to be a really, really – really fun week in Aggieland leading up to that October 9th game with Alabama coming into town.
All right, he's Brent Zerneman, covers Texas A&M for the Houston Chronicle. And if you're not following him, at Brent Zerneman, you're not doing your life right because he's the biggest scooper out there in the SEC and maybe even college football. So, Brent, I really, really appreciate the time. That this was outstanding.
Mike, I really enjoyed it. Anytime, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Shane. So I really appreciative of Brent Zernerman. Had to get the Texas A&M side of that game covered after getting... We had JB on the last episode breaking down Arkansas. But, hey, this is one of my favorite interviews we've ever done on the show. He really... Brent really delivered here, didn't he?
Hell yeah, man. And it touched the heart, man. You think about your papaws and your grandfather, great-grandfathers talking about these games. I mean, you know, this is this is about family and football. So I just love – that was a great one, man. Great
and
one.
I love the fact, speaking of this Texas A&M Arkansas, he said, how about that, Shane? If Jimbo didn't become coach, they would have got Chad Morris down there at A&M. Oh, how about that?
Man, it only takes one hire, man.
Well, buddy, we've got some games to pick. You ready to make our weekly selections?
Let's do it.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Not only am I picking Toledo to cover, I'm picking Toledo to win outright.
I can't kick your ass, B. Heard you say that.
Well, he kicked my ass regardless.
Exactly. They're going to beat the brakes off Miami. You watch it.
Mike, if Florida wins this damn game, I will sing the fight song Monday.
It ain't happening, brother.
Yeah, orange and blue, waving forever. Forever pride, old Florida, may she droop.
Joking here. I forgot to hit record, so you got to do that again.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm recording it. All right, Shane, so I'm going to start just in order. The kickoff times here is really what I'm doing, but we got a showdown here in Nashville with them Georgia Bulldogs going on the road to face the Vanderbilt Commodores at noon Eastern, 11 o'clock Central on the SEC Network. Georgia favored by 35.5 points. Good God. And the over-under, 52.5 points. Georgia's won 3 in a row and about, I'd say, 48 of the last 50 here. So what do you like in this matchup, Shane?
Oh, man, if Vanderbilt could forfeit one game this year, Mike, it may be this one. I'm telling you. Vanderbilt, don't get me wrong. I loved the fight in these guys. I thought they gave Stanford hell. The progression between the Colorado State game and to going into week 4, I think they're moving in the right direction, Mike. But to say that they've got a shot or even close to it's just not possible. I mean, it's just can't happen. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm just like everybody else. I'm a realist here, Mike, when it comes to this game. Georgia's defense is just too damn tough. Vanderbilt, it's going to be tough for them to – it's just going to be tough for them to move the chains. And I think Georgia's still wanting to work some things out with their offense, man. And so that being said, I'm going to go with Georgia winning the game. But – Vanderbilt scored one touchdown, but not enough to cover the spread. I've got Georgia winning 49, Vanderbilt 7.
Yeah, I mean,
what the hell's going on with these dogs here? You know, I start talking about the damn Bulldogs.
I mean, Vanderbilt's best shot is Georgia resting some key players. I mean, that it is what it is. Georgia faithful already planning to take over Broadway. I'm about to head down there myself and see what Dog Nation's got to bring to Nashville. This is just a horrible, horrible, horrible mismatch. We all know Georgia, number 5 offense in the country, number 2 defense, according to the efficiency rankings. Vanderbilt, 98 offense, 102 defense. Again, those are efficiency rankings. So, I mean, just a horrible, horrible mismatch in the Dogs' favor. And as I said on the last podcast, it's even more troubling that Vanderbilt has got issues on the interior of that offensive line, because we all know who them Bulldogs got on the defensive line. Jordan Davis, he may have his best game as a college player. That does not sit well for the Commodores. So I'm right there with you, Shane. No more breaking this thing down. I'm going Georgia 52, Vanderbilt 6. I give them 2 field goals, Shane. I'm not giving them the touchdown. Not on this Georgia defense. You know what?
Oh, man, it's special teams in the third quarter. That's when they get this one, Mike. So, I don't get me wrong. I still think Vanderbilt's moving in the right direction. But, you know, Georgia's trying to work out kinks right now, and they're going to take advantage of that. They're just going to take advantage of it.
All right, we got a showdown here. Very pivotal game in the SEC West, Shane, also at noon Eastern, 11 o'clock Central. LSU hitting the road for Mississippi State. The Tigers, 2.5-point favorite. It's going to be broadcast by ESPN. And the over-under, 56 points. Mississippi State, of course, won the game last year in tremendous opening season fashion. Who do you like in this matchup?
Mike, I don't know about you, man, but I really had a tough time making picks. I mean, I have flip-flopped a few of these games multiple times, and I've convinced myself that the other team's going to win just about every time. This one's no different. Which LSU team shows up? I think that's the key. Is this last year's LSU that just progressively gets better every single week? Or is this week one LSU that gets their ass beat by UCLA? I don't know. That's the question right now. I think – I mean, part of me wants to say, okay, LSU's back last week. But, man, I'm telling you, again, it is so tough for me to gamble on those Tigers right now. And then on the other side of the coin, you got Mississippi State. At times, looking like a dominant top 25 program. And then at times – they look terrible. And I hate to look back in the rearview mirror, Mike, but this game last week is still in my craw, man. They should not have let Memphis sneak back into this thing. They should have done things a little bit different. They capitalized, they made too many mistakes. So needless to say, all that being said, Mike, the spread on this game is what, 2.5 LSU?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think LSU's back, man. And I don't think they're like all the way back, but they're back enough to beat Mississippi State. This scoreboard, this constant reminder this week down at LSU is how they embarrassed them last year. I think this is a little bit of a revenge game. It does help that it's in Mississippi State, but I just think LSU I think it's one of those last possession games. So give me LSU 28, Mississippi State 21.
Ooh. I love a lot of what you had to say, Shane. I mean, like you said, this Mississippi State wins this game would not surprise me in the least. If LSU wins this game, would not surprise me in the least. You know, it's an issue for me that the home team is an underdog. It certainly seems like Mississippi State playing with the Cowbells there in Starkville as an underdog. You got to like their odds more often than not. Last time, they were underdog at home. NC State whooped the hell out of them. You know what I mean? So, and if we get the LSU that we got week one, maybe even week two against McNeese, LSU may get run out the building here. But right. I'm kind of with you, man. I mean, last week it all kind of started to click. At least it appeared to for LSU. We've got so many young players on this team. A lot of the running back, Corey Kiner, guy I already mentioned, I think he'll have a good day. I just don't think he'll go wild because Zach Arnett and this Mississippi State defense, you know, let's give them all the credit in the world. They continue to be one of the more underrated units in the SEC, if not the country. But I just think LSU's got so many weapons. Max Johnson seemed to really get some confidence last week, throwing to a lot of these receivers, Kayshawn Boutte, and man, I would pick Mississippi State. I really would if I knew what I was getting in their offense. But it just, hell, they could get down 20 points here and then they'll come to life. But, you know, if they would come out firing all cylinders right out the gate, I'd have a lot more confidence in them. But not only that, I've not seen them play a full four quarters of football. So I'm right there with you. I got LSU and almost by a similar margin here. LSU 27, Mississippi State 20, but just like you, Shane, I do not feel great about this selection. I'll just tell you that right now.
Hey, to be fair, Mike, I had Mississippi State win this game all week. But then I don't know, just something, gut feeling, and usually I'm wrong in these situations. Mississippi State fans probably happy I'm picking this way, but I don't know. I need to see it, and I think we know. I think the good thing about this game right here, Mike, when it's over and it's done with, we're gonna know exactly where these programs are at. Right now, it's still just kind of up in the air, but I think we'll know exactly how they're gonna fit in the SEC after this week.
All right, next game, Shane. It looks like an interesting one as well. Also, noon Eastern time, 11 o'clock Central. Missouri on the road at Boston College on ESPN2. Missouri favored by 1.5. Over-unders at 58.5. And let's kick it over to, this game already was on our radar, obviously it being an SEC game. But we had the coaches trading shots here. So let's kick it over to Eli Drinkwitz and Jeff Hatley before we make our picks.
Good test to have that gives you one power five. Would you like, I know you've got so many games already scheduled out 20 years down the road, but would you like more of a regional game if you could pick how those non-conference schedules go?
This by no means is any knock on Boston College. I think it's a great game. It'll be a tremendous test. I think they're a really good football team. They're 3-0. They were maybe 6-5 last year in a COVID year, and I think Coach Halfley's done a tremendous job there and poised to have a big year. I mean, you look at the ACC, it's wide open, and, us traveling to Boston is going to be a very difficult test. If I had my pick of it, I would love to play a regional matchup that was maybe more of a rivalry game that would be maybe a little bit more exciting to recruits to watch, from a TV perspective or maybe we're playing in front of your family. I don't know the last time Missouri signed a kid from the great state of Massachusetts.
Hey, Coach. Sorry if you were asked this earlier. I hopped on a bit late, but yesterday Missouri's coach said he would rather the non-conference game be a regional game and kind of inferred that you guys might not draw many eyes. I'm just curious what you kind of thought about that or if you heard it.
Yeah. I heard it because there's about 500 people that sent it to me. Besides that, I probably would have never heard it. Look, he said I don't think he meant anything by it, and I'll give you my opinion. Truthfully, you guys asked me how I felt when we had to go and play UMass, right? And we had to go to Temple and play Temple. Shoot, if Colgate wanted us to go play him there, I'll go play there. And if he really didn't want to come to Boston, he should have called me up and asked me, and I would have got on a plane and flew out to Missouri to play. I don't care where we play. I don't. The football season for me is about getting our team games, getting better every day, and having a great time doing it with each other. So it is what it is.
All right, Chase, we got some bad blood here, it looks like, a little bit between Missouri and Boston College. Credit both these coaches, I think, for being transparent. No coach speak from these two, so got to love that. Mm-mm. But who do you like in the ball game here?
I love the attitude, man. I want my head coach saying this. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I'd like to be 3-0 when my head coach is saying this. But don't get me wrong. I mean, this is the SEC. We don't care about Boston College. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Boston College. Yeah. You look. Oh, they're 3-0. Yeah, but look at the teams they played, man. They played like Colgate.
Mm-hmm. UMass is another one.
That's like toothpaste, I mean, come on now. Their quarterback's hurt. Doug Flutie ain't walking out them doors, Mike. I'm telling you. So I say all that to say this, man. I love the attitude of these Tigers, and I think they battle back. I think they got embarrassed when they went to Lexington. I really do think they wish they had that game back because that was a game they thought they had as a victory. They didn't. They just would like a do-over. Well, they don't have that opportunity. But moving forward, they do have the ability to make a name for themselves, and I think they do that by just talking trash to a team like Boston College and then going up there and just doing what you're supposed to, and that is putting these guys away. There's no such thing as home field advantage in Boston College, Mike. Give me Mizzou. Lock of the week.
Ooh.
31. Boston College, 21.
Ooh, and Shane, on his primary locks of the week, he is undefeated. So, Missouri, you got to feel great about that. And I'm feeling great about my pick now that I've heard that one because I'm right there with you. I mean, Boston College has shown an ability to run the ball, which is a little bit troubling to me. They run mm-hmm. some of the same principles that we saw from the Kentucky offense, and that's something Eli Drinkwitz got on this week. So that is a little troubling. But still, at the end of the day, Missouri's got a lot better talent than old Boston College. Mm-hmm. That's why Eli don't want to play up there, because they don't got no recruits up there. You know, some of our skill players got some confidence last week, beating the hell out of CMU. And, you know, I think even in a loss, again, you know, we don't believe in moral victories, but Missouri showed a lot in that game at Kentucky, particularly in the second half. Their offense was damn near unstoppable. So, you know, it looks like that has continued on here 2 weeks down the road into Boston College. As long as that continues, Connor Basilak, Tyler Beatty, I think they have their way with Boston College. I'm going Missouri 35, Boston College 24.
Mike, you don't go to Boston College to watch good football. You go there for medical advice, you know?
All right, how about this one, Shane? Georgia State at Auburn, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central on the SEC Network. Auburn favored by 27. Only 27, what? Over under 57 total points. Who do you like in this matchup?
Mike, I didn't even know if I needed to put a score on this thing. I was like, is this an FCS opponent? They got a spread on this thing? What's Jen, I remember exactly. You think I don't know who Georgia State is, Mike? They can get you, but they're not going to get these Auburn Tigers, man. I'm telling you, Auburn should have had a victory up there at Penn State. Again, another classic case of letting this thing. But one thing that I've shown, that Auburn has shown, is when they are the superior talent in on that field, without a doubt, they put the points up and they put the games away. And that's what I love about this program. And it's a safe bet. It just feels safe. I almost made this my lock of the week, Mike. I think Auburn comes out and just kicks Georgia State's ass. And I've got a score of 42, Georgia State 13. So give me the over.
Man, I can sense the revenge in your voice just by saying that, Shane. And you know, it's funny that you
400 rushing yards, Mike. 400 rushing yards in this game. I feel it.
You know, it's funny. I saw online basically the only case someone was making that this could be a competitive game was, well, you know, Georgia State has experience winning in the SEC. But
oh God,
too bad they're not playing Jeremy Pruitt coach team, because that's got nothing to do with them coming down to the plains and getting the whooping they're about to receive. You know, Bo Nix didn't have his greatest performance last weekend. You know, he wasn't totally bad or anything. I think the Penn State quarterback, though, certainly had a much better day. So I think Bo Nix returns to the form we saw the first 2 weeks of the season. This is going to be a confidence builder for the Auburn Tigers. I am a little worried that, you know, usually when Vegas sets a spread like this, I mean, I'm right there with you. I thought the spread would be 40, 50, something crazy like that. Why is it so low? I don't know. Maybe they're anticipating the letdown factor or what. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. Tank, Sean Shivers, I believe he's returned to practice. He should be good to go. Hunter, their freshman running back. I mean, it's going to be a triple-headed monster here for the Auburn Tigers. I'm right there with you. Auburn, 38. Georgia State, 10. Ooh, speaking of a whooping, Shane, in the state of Alabama, Southern Miss at Alabama, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on the SEC Network. Mm-hmm. Alabama favored by 45. Good night. Over under 58 total points. Who do you like in this matchup?
Oh, man. You know, I watched Monday Night Football the other day with Peyton and Eli. Did you see old Brett Favre get on there?
Oh, yeah.
It felt like he was on dial-up, man. He was so damn slow. I love Brett Favre, but that did not work out, and it ain't going to work out for the Alabama game. I think this is one, obviously, Alabama runs away with, but that's a lot of points, Mike. That is a lot of damn points. I mean, when you're talking, what is that? I got to get a calculator on that one. 7 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
That's how many Alabama has to win by? Now, if I thought it was Ole Miss out there doing the flex, yeah, I may go with it. But I think Alabama keeps it simple. They keep it easy because they do got a big game next week. So give me Alabama with the victory. However, give me the under. Alabama 52, Southern Miss 10. Do you think, let me ask you, do you think we learned anything from this game? Really?
Maybe if Alabama's got a fifth-string quarterback is maybe what we'll find. I mean, did you see old Dick Saban, Shane, ripping his, you know, not his team, the media, new one? I mean, I don't know. You know, anytime we get that from Coach Saban, it certainly seems like, you know, he's clearly unhappy, and I think he really does that to send a message to his team. We saw that Mercer week. They came out kind of slow. Certainly, you know, it's not going to affect the outcome of this game, but I'm kind of right there with you. I mean, I don't know if you cover the 45. Certainly, if you kept the starters in, you'd probably cover in the first half. You know what I mean? But Alabama, I think, will pull some starters, maybe get some of that Brett Favre magic for the Eagles here, find a way to get a backdoor cover. But, yeah, I mean, this is one where this is just a – it's not like Alabama needs a get right game. I call these games just you know, get all the freshmen in. So Alabama obviously going to win big, but I do like you. I like Southern Miss here with the cover. I'm going 48-10. Alabama wins easy. All right, Shane. Now we're getting into the night action here. Terrific game. Let's go with Kentucky at South Carolina. 7 Eastern, 6 Central on ESPN2. The Wildcats favored by 5 and the over under 48 total points. We even got our guy Old School Cock, Shane. You see that? He's giving us some love here on the Twitter's machine. He's fired up for this one. Who do you like in the matchup?
Oh, Mike, I'm going to tell you, brother, this, like I said, another tough game to pick. There's three games that I just went round and round with. We talked on the LSU-Mississippi State game. We're now in the Kentucky-South Carolina game. Of course, the Tennessee-Florida game is the other. No, I'm just kidding. The other one is the Texas-Arkansas game. But I'm going to tell you, man, this one I kept going back and forth. And I'm trying to play this game in my head. How do I see it playing out? Well, there's some things I like about both teams. There's some things I don't like. For starters, I think the blueprint is out on Kentucky. Okay? When they came out and they played Mizzou, we've never seen a team like this. Airing it out, having fun. It just felt like, wait a minute. This isn't the Kentucky team that we know. Mm-hmm. But then you saw the UTC game. And you saw that defensive front give this front line a problem. The running game was shut down. The team became one-dimensional. We just came from a one-dimensional Kentucky, and it wasn't good. We need a two-dimensional program. And I think they're getting there, Mike. And then you look on the other side of the ball, you got South Carolina. Did they get destroyed by 500 five-star recruits down there in Georgia? Yes. All right, we get it. They played a talented team, but there was bits and pieces in that game that really impressed me. And times that they were able to move the ball without their quarterback, without all their running backs having 8-9 in the box. It's just, you're going to South Carolina, and even Barstool put a thing out about one of the most annoying stadiums in the country is played over there at South Carolina. And I'm telling you, Mike, these guys are going to be loud. They're going to be rowdy, and it's going to be crazy. And I'm just telling you, it's going to be a situation that Kentucky's not faced in a couple years. And I think that plays in the favor of South Carolina.
Ooh.
And I'm doing it, Mike. I mean, people are going to consider this an upset, even though it's, what, a 5-point game?
Right.
South Carolina, Coach Beamer, started out the season 2-0, took a loss down there in Georgia. Looking for a signature victory, and I think he gets it early in his career. Give me upset South Carolina 28, Kentucky 24.
Ooh. You know, Shane, that might be a hell of a pick there. We talked about it earlier. Mark Stoops' record on the road, it ain't pretty, brother. The Kentucky Wildcats have not been able to get it done on the road in the SEC under Mark Stoops. Last week, Chattanooga game, very disturbing. Matchup potentially of the weekend here in the SEC. Kentucky's offensive line versus South Carolina's defensive front. That is going to be, you know, just a war down there. The side that wins that battle is going to win this game. And if Kentucky of last week shows up, they're going to get blown out in this game because they got worked by UTC at points in that game. So, I mean, that's troubling for sure. Will Levis has got to stop turning the ball over. I don't know how serious it is. I don't think it's very serious, but Chris Rodriguez, his wrist, I think, is hurt. So that could be a factor. Maybe that's why he keeps fumbling the damn ball. We got to get a correction on that. We got Luke Doty starting his first game for South Carolina. Yeah. So how does that, this is the quarterback, of course, that was scheduled to start all season long before they had to go to Zeb Nolan. How does that play into the factor of this game and maybe opens up the offense a lot more to what this coaching staff wants? And, I mean, I think the key part, you mentioned it right there, those South Carolina fans, man, this is going to be their, like Florida welcoming Alabama, absolutely, like Arkansas welcoming Texas. I mean, this is going to be their game of the year up to this point. Willie B at night, Shane Beamer's wants a damn fans to yell through their mask. I mean, how could you not get fired up when your coach is out there? And not only that, but you know that guy's going to be jacked on. I don't know if he drinks Red Bull or not, but looks like he's had about 20 of them before he takes the field. Now, having said all that, Shane, I love everything you said. Give me Kentucky lock of the week. I think they're legit. I think last week was obviously disappointing and should not be excused by any point. You cannot be this upper echelon team in the SEC with just performances like that. Now, how do you, get people to forget all that? You clean up your mistakes. You go out on the road. You beat a team that, I got to be honest with you, Shane, just evaluating the two rosters, I think Kentucky right now has got a lot better roster than the South Carolina Gamecocks, and that matters a hell of a lot more than fans in the stands and all that. So I'm going Kentucky 30, South Carolina 20.
Right, to be fair, Mike, being fair here, I did have these scores flip-flop before we started talking. And same thing, man. I kept convincing myself that this defensive front is at UTC, and they are going to wreak havoc back there in the backfield. And then on top of that, the Luke Doty, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. I mean, the element of surprise is South Carolina's pocket right now. So I think if they can get an early lead that plays in their favor, if they can make Kentucky one-dimensional, you saw it. You right now, I don't know if I want Will Levis shooting it out with anybody. So I'm going to go with the upset special. You went with lock of the week. So we'll see. We're going to find out Saturday, Mike.
And the great news for the Gamecocks, Shane, I have a losing record on my lock of the weeks so far this year. All right, next game, Shane, Tennessee at Florida, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on ESPN. And Gator, Shane, favored by 19 points, over-under at 63 total points. Who do you like in this matchup?
Oh, well, I love my Tennessee Vols, Mike. You know what I'm saying? I love upsets. I've already picked one or two of them here. The problem, Mike, the biggest travesty of this game is the fact it's being played at 7 o'clock. It became a primetime game that these fans are going to be loud and rowdy for. And that's the last thing the Volunteers needed was a loud swamp. We needed a hungover noon o'clock swamp, you know? Where they're sitting there at halftime like, what the hell happened? But unfortunately, it's a primetime game, and if Dan showed me anything, he's typically, 9 times out of 10, ready for a primetime game, which I think he'll have these guys going. Now, I expect some points to be scored here, and I hope that we learn a little bit about both these programs this Saturday, but until Tennessee can find a quarterback that can't throw 10 yards over your head, I don't see them being competitive in this game. And I hope I'm wrong, Mike, buddy. I'm hoping I'm wrong. But give me Florida. I don't want to Florida Gators. Here's the thing, Mike. I can see this game playing out and just leaning on that running attack and our guys being three and out and wore out. This is one of those games that could get ugly real quick, and that's what I'm afraid of is right. To tail into this thing when the defense is just exhausted. So I think it's a closer game around half, but I just think Florida, with the competitive depth, they just pull away from us. Florida 42, Tennessee 24.
Ooh, oh man.
So I got Tennessee covering the spread, just FYI, but I just think Florida, if they backdoor this thing maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And have you heard the news, Shane? It sounds like old Anthony Richardson going to be able to play. And one of my favorite responses, I just saw someone say, well, hell, they had to hold him out for Alabama for when the real team comes to town. So, I mean, that's Tennessee's luck right there. Anthony Richardson is just amazing. Hell, they almost beat Alabama without him. Yeah, for me, Shane, I think the biggest key to this game is Josh Heupel loves to go warp speed on offense. I think that's the only speed he knows. And, you know, it's the strength of his system. Yet, how can you do that when your opponent is the nation's best rushing team? And you better believe that if Florida can run all over Alabama, they're going to be able to run all over Tennessee. I mean, they don't have the linebackers that Alabama has, and they certainly don't have the defensive linemen. So it seems like a terrible, terrible mismatch for the Vols. I do think they will be able to have some success, particularly if it is Hendon Hooker, like I think it should have been all along for the Vols. Now, if Joe Milton comes out here, oh man, I don't know. I don't think Tennessee's got a shot with Joe Milton the way he rockets these passes now. Maybe he plays better when fans are booing him. I don't know. But, I mean, how can you not be impressed with what we saw from Florida? The only, you know, I think chance Tennessee's got in this game is, the letdown factor. But by all indications, I mean, Florida's fired up for this thing. Dan Mullen is calling for the fans to show up. I think they will answer that call. So I'm right there with you. I think Florida's defense outside of that opening against Alabama where there were some missed tackles and whatnot, they are much improved this year. So I think they'll be better equipped to handle this Tennessee offense. So I got it right with you, Shane. 35-20. I like the Vols to cover, but Florida to get an easy win. And they probably could run it up if they wanted here late in the fourth. But I think they're going to take it easy after the war they were just in against Alabama.
Yeah, and if Milton plays, some of them fans may get some souvenirs.
All right, Shane, we held off long enough. Game of the week here, SEC on CBS, Arkansas versus Texas A&M. The Aggies favored by 4.5, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central, of course, on CBS. Over-under of 47 points. Who do you like in this matchup?
47 points. Man, they're thinking a kind of a low-scoring game, huh?
Yeah.
The theme of week four, Mike, is we're going to have some tight games, man.
Yeah.
And we're going to have two of the best programs playing prime time CBS. No game of the week, no SEC network, don't need none of that jazz. Just give me Gary Danielson and CBS. And we're going to have us a hell of a ball game. And I think this is exactly what we're going to have, man, because they match up so well. One thing that has concerned me with Texas A&M and their sluggish start is the way that they've been able to protect these quarterbacks. Hell, it got one of them hurt. The other one, he's finally coming into form. He's making some great plays, but he can only do so much when he's not vertical. So right. That's what worries me, because Arkansas's got a hell of a defense, sneaky good defense. They can come in there. They can raise hell. So that's the part that scares me for the Aggies. I have been willing Texas A&M to the SEC championship since the start of this season, Mike, and it's getting harder. I mean, I about lost it in Colorado last week. Yes. Did they win? Yes. But they were supposed to, and they still look sloppy doing it. Arkansas is playing like they're going into week nine, and I think that's a huge advantage. Texas A&M 7, Arkansas is 16th. We got a 5.5-point spread here, Mike, and I think it comes down to the damn last second. In fact, I got game-winning field goal of this game. 31, Texas A&M, Arkansas, 28. I had it. This is one of those, again, back and forth.
I'm confused. I don't understand. Who's winning the game?
Oh, did I not tell you? Texas A&M. That's it. This is how confident I am, Mike. I don't even want to tell you the teams. I'm just going to tell you what the score is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, this should be one hell of a matchup. We still don't know. Ricky Stromberg, Dalton Wagner, the offensive line for Arkansas, will they suit up? That could be paramount in this matchup. Anaya Smith, Texas A&M, a little banged up as well. It sounds like Caleb Chapman, the receiver for A&M, is not going to play. So, you know, some key players on both sides of the team so are going to likely miss this game or at least be limited for the matchup. So it doesn't really favor one side or the other, if you ask me, on the injury front. You know, these defenses, both some of the best in the SEC. I think Texas A&M might have the most underrated. Everybody loves Georgia. How could you not love Georgia's defense? But I think A&M is right there with them. While Arkansas, I think they are, you know, they don't have the star power, but they just work as a unit. And I think defenses is all about working as a unit more so than anything else. So I understand why everybody's looking at the spread and or the over-under, I should have said. And kind of like you, Shane, I mean, this, hell, it wouldn't surprise people if it was 10 to 9 or something like that. But I think it's going to be a lot more high scoring because I got a lot more faith in KJ Jefferson and Burks and Traylon Smith and this Arkansas offense. And on the flip side, I love Texas A&M's offense outside of the offensive line, which has been struggling. I think Zach Calzada starting to come on. That's why he was one of my prize pick selections. I think he's going to have a solid game. But, man, I have gone back and forth and back and forth all week on this matchup. And I like, you know, I like what you said, Shane. I think it comes down to a field goal. I mean, this is going to be that type of a ball game. But you got the wrong side, brother. Cam Little, he's going to kick it. The freshman for them Arkansas Razorbacks, 27. Texas A&M, 24. The streak ends this weekend in Jerry World. And if you were asking me, Shane, on a confidence scale from 1 being the least, 10 being the most, I'm going about 0.5.
Horsetown Honda.
I mean, this would not surprise me at all because I think A&M is elite. But I think you kind of hit on the key there, Shane. It's not so much I'm sitting here saying that, you know, 9 times out of 10, Arkansas is going to beat A&M. But which team's playing better? And I really do feel like the Razorbacks are hitting on all cylinders right now. And I think that could be the difference in a tight, tight game here in Jerry World. But again, it would not surprise me in the least if Texas A&M finds a way because they got so many damn stars on this game. And a part of me wants to see them win it because I want to see A&M and Alabama both be undefeated when they meet in a couple weeks. But I just got to give you my honest take, Shane. I think Arkansas is playing too well to get beat right now, particularly when A&M's offensive line has just not really been getting it done up to this point. So I just don't know how you can. Now I wouldn't say unbelievable, but I'm turning myself into knots here because I think it's so tight, but it's just a slight edge to the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, I think it comes down to future head coach Elko and Odom here. I think this is who can draw up the. I think that's what it is. It's going to come down to a couple key possessions, Mike, and which defense trips up the offense at the right time. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Mike, you look at what Arkansas is going to be calloused at the end of this streak, man. They got Georgia, they got Ole Miss, they got all these damn teams that are playing Georgia, right?
Next week. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no trap game here, man. Right. Arkansas is – they got to get used to this. And if they've shown us anything with the Texas game, they're ready. I get that, and it would not surprise me. Like I said, I've bounced around. But I think if Texas A&M is truly going to make a run at the playoffs, they got to win games like this, and not close, man. Even though I gave them a 3-point, they really got to pull away. If you expect them to compete with Alabama right now, or potentially Florida or Georgia in the SEC championship, you know, they cannot afford to stumble against Arkansas. And that's not a knock on Arkansas. I just think that when you look talent gap, it's no joke here, man. A&M's got a better roster. It's just Arkansas's doing more with theirs, and that's all about the coaching. So who gets them right this week? Is it Texas A&M? Is it Arkansas? It's a coin toss, Mike.
Yeah, and a couple X factors, I think, in this game. Anaya Smith for Texas A&M, if he's full go on special teams, that's been a disaster for Arkansas in this series. So, and hell, he almost had several touchdowns last week on kick returns. So watch that. And then last season, Jalen Wattemeyer, the outstanding tight end. I think he's the best tight end in the SEC. Mm-hmm. He had his way with the Razorbacks. So, you know, those guys, you got to limit them if you're Arkansas. So, like I said, I mean, Texas A&M's got the pieces to win. This thing is a complete toss-up in my mind.
I'm excited, man.
All right, Shane. So, hey, before we wrap it up, you got anything before we hop off here?
Yeah, buddy, I got some reviews. Well, Mike, first off, I want to appreciate I appreciate all the listeners, man. As this thing's grown, and you know, we, like I said many, many times, we, if it weren't for you guys, we wouldn't do it. Me and Mike would just, we'd have a phone call about what we thought was going to happen this weekend. We're just including you in that. This is a three-way here. So I appreciate everybody that's hanging out with us. You know, there was a couple of you that's been there since day one, and I'm talking about multiple reviews. That really does help us out. If you get on there to the Apple reviews, leave us a 5-star rating. Mike sends you a beer koozie of your choice. So Mike's constantly at the mailbox. So I thought it'd be great. And this is courtesy of our boy Ollie, even though he probably hates me right now because I picked against him. But I do want to – he said he wanted to know about the reviews, getting those out. And I was like, yeah, Mike, we need to start reading those again. So I'll be sure to start reading them moving forward. So this one's going to be a little bit longer because I'm going to go back to August 27th here. The best pod out there, 5 stars, comes from Brown 707. Love the info Mike brings to the show and the humor and betting info that Cousin Shane brings when he shows up. LOL. Kind of tied up, Shane. Go Big Orange. Hashtag VFL. Well, Brown, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Brown.
Next one comes from Razorbackology. Cool name. Love this pod. 5-star. SCC Mike always does a terrific job covering all of the bases in the most decorated conference in the country. The constant content makes it easy to make this podcast a daily routine. Well, Razorbackology, we appreciate you.
Yeah, that's my buddy Ben. I've done his show, so thank you, Ben.
All right. Next one comes from Gator Hater. Oh, perfect name for this week. This one says, great job. 5-star. Love the pod. I listen every day at work. Go Dawgs. Well, Gator Hater, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Hater.
Next one comes from K Pierce 92. Love the pod. 5-star. Love the podcast. Mike and Cuz Shane are hilarious and give a great unbiased opinion on the greatest conference in all of college sports. Well, K Pierce, appreciate the kind words. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, Pierce.
Next one comes from John's Pear username. Cool name. Good stuff. 5-star. Listen to during my morning workouts. And sometimes while driving, helps me up to date with my sports addiction without having to stare at a video screen. Some sports podcasts can get boring and make me want to fall asleep, but these guys are entertaining and bring on new guests. Highly recommend. I'd give 6 stars if I could. Go Gators at the end of this one. John Pear, username. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, John.
Next comes from Dogs on Top. Great, unique pod. 5-star. Recently discovered this pod, and I love its uniqueness. In addition to breaking down the SEC matchup news, etc., The pod dives into coach press conferences throughout the week. A great way to stay informed of all the teams in the conference. Definitely worth a listen. Go Dogs. Dogs on top. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Dogs.
Next one comes from Husky underscore 23. The best SEC coverage. 5-star. Love the great coverage of the SEC. And I think Mike is fantastic. Wait, whoa. I just said that one again. You realize Shane real quick cannot read. And I think Mike is fantastic with great analysis of all the games and news from around the SEC. Husky 23 doesn't appreciate me.
Yeah, I wrote this one. Thanks, Husky.
Next one comes from Swampy 8. Great pod, 5-star. Mike does a great job, and you got to love Cousin Shane. A nice down-home Southern football podcast. If I could nitpick one thing, it would be the 2 to 3 minute long intros. Intro. That's a big word. That's what we don't do those in Tennessee. The same coach quotes every episode. I skip those every time to get back to the substance. I think 30 seconds or so would be more appropriate, but what do I know? Go Gators. Now, to be fair, Mike, this was September 10th, and you've changed that since then, but Swampy 8, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Swampy, and I appreciate the feedback because that's kind of, that's how we improve the show, and we've been doing that every week, been switching out those intros, so I hope people pay attention and appreciate that.
Yeah, and you've been tweeting the videos out and everything. I really like I love the new intro each week. I think that's a great idea. Next one comes from JGWIV, a lot of letters. Awesome SEC pod, 5-star. Mike and Cousin Shane are the best. Give great info while keeping it funny, 5 stars. Well, JG, I appreciate you.
Yeah, our favorite JG. Thank you.
Yeah. Next one comes from Peyton Majel. The pod, 5-star. Love the podcast and is by far one of my favorite pods to listen to about the SEC and college football. Well, Peyton, I appreciate you.
Thanks, Peyton.
Next one comes from AMC GILL 31. Great podcast, 5-star. Guys do a great at the news and updates on the SEC. Keep up the great work. Well, AMC, I appreciate you.
Thanks, McGill.
Next one comes from Rich Porf. Cool name. Really good stuff with a whole something. Got cut off there, Mike. I'm on my phone here. 5-star. They find a way to bring out the key points of info diehard fans of the leagues want to hear and chill sort of way. Rich. Well, Rich, I appreciate you.
Thanks for the support, Rich.
All right, next one comes from Go Dogs, 1994, best college football podcast, 5-star. Love starting my mornings with SEC Mike. Best all-around SEC news and podcast out there. Keep up the good work, fellas. Go Dogs. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I swear I'm not writing these.
Yeah, Mike. Jeez, where's mine at? Mike Sosa. This must have been when I was on my sabbatical there. Mike Sosa. 5-star, go Vols. Y'all keep bringing great content. Love it. Thanks for the koozie. Go Vols. Well, Mike, I appreciate you. Enjoy the koozie.
Yes, sir.
Hey, if you got some koozies at the game, be sure to send a picture of it. We've been putting those out on the Twitters. Next one comes from Jack Bo Jennings. Cool name. Hottie Toddy, 5-star. Third year on the pod and third review. Look at the hustle, Mike. Look at Jack Bo here. Content keeps getting better. You guys are the first thing I listen to in the morning from mid-July to end of January. Also, Maddie C for Huntsman. Well, Jack Bo, I think you may have a chance there. Appreciate the hustle and the third review.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for all the support. We really do appreciate you.
Next one comes from Dyersburg Vol at Jamie KS. 5-star. Very excited that you are full-time. Cousin Shane and yourself make my week more fun and helps me look forward to the weekend of SEC action. Y'all are the best. I can't wait to have a cold one with Cousin Shane with the big orange koozie. Well, Dyersburg, where you at? We'll meet you this weekend.
Yeah, appreciate you, Dyersburg.
All right, this one... posted Saturday, T. Breisner, perfect podcast, 5-star. found this podcast a few weeks ago and have listened every day. Perfect combination of insight, interviews, and good banter. Must listen if you love SEC football. Well, TB Riser, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you.
This one comes from a lot of letters. The Tennessee Homer, 5-star. You know why I'm here. Koozie. Well, I appreciate you, G.
Yeah, whatever your name is, we do appreciate you.
Last but not least, Mike, this one comes from Justin McNichol, SEC Podcast, 5-star. Just started listening to this podcast. This is one of the best in the country. I look forward to listening to more in the future. I also love koozies. Well, Justin, I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, Justin. And, you know, it is kind of wild, Shane, to read these reviews and know that so many people listen to the show, because sometimes it feels like it's just you and I sitting here, doesn't it?
It really does, man. It does. And then I'm reading 1,200 reviews, and it's just like, oh, there is somebody else out there listening. My mom's texting me saying, don't use so many cuss words. Sorry, I get emotional sometimes. Love you, Mom.
But we do appreciate each and every one of you. And like Cousin Shane said, if you give us that 5-star written review, we'll mail you a koozie. All you got to do is reach out to us either on Twitter or send us an email. We're at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. That's the best way to reach us. But that's just our little way of saying thanks to each and every one of you. All right, Shane, so one heck of a weekend here in the SEC. I cannot wait for these ball games, and I think it's great that the game of the week we're both split on, and lock of the week we're split on. I mean, this is shaping up for one hell of a weekend, don't you think?
It really is, man, just because I have no idea, you have no idea. We're going to be sitting there at the end of Saturday, you're going to be doing your power rankings, and you're going to be like, oh, I did not see that coming.
Well, hey, buddy, enjoy the weekend. I hope everybody out there, I hope your team wins, and feel free to mock us for any and all selections we made here on this show. But appreciate you hopping on the line here, Shane. I appreciate each and every one of you. Catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols. Upset.